Hey folks, welcome. Susan Baracco here. Glad you're joining us today. Gabrielle, thanks for being here. Vicky, Charlene is here. Sam, welcome. Glad you guys have joined us. If you would, please type in the chat, open up the chat and type in and say hello. I want to make sure that you all can hear me. My audio is working properly. Andrew, hey, welcome. Glad you're here. Hey, Vicky, thank you. We're going to wait just a moment or two, give other people a chance to join us. And in the meantime, hey, Charlene, South Dakota, good for you. Gabrielle, hello there. If you would answer our just for fun question, and this week it's, I hope, fun, but I'd love to share some ideas about how we step away and take a break during the day, what it is that helps us to perhaps relax or break our focus maybe, or whatever the case may be. These days maybe help to relax a little. Feel free to type that in. And for those of you who are new and haven't been on a call before, we have a bit of a format that we follow. We start just giving people a chance to jump on the call. And then I ask you a couple of questions. We go through a couple different slides with questions about, just to see what's been going on for all of you. And then we get into the question and answer segment of the call. And I hope that you all came prepared with plenty of questions. It is a terrific opportunity to share your questions with others, to hear answers, and maybe get unstuck if you happen to be stuck or something like that. So take advantage of this time. I hope you have some good questions, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Gabrielle, thanks for answering. She said she likes to read on her lunch break, whatever book of the moment is. Other times I stand at the window and just look outside. Yeah. Depending on the weather, for me, it's getting outside to walk. I have two dogs. I'll take them out, let them play, or take a short walk with them, that kind of thing, just to get out of the building, if the weather permits. Andrew says, movies, books, and ice cream. Ooh, yum. That sounds great. Charlene says, I always have a sewing project going on, so I sew for a bit while ideas and solutions magically appear. Isn't that great? Yeah, it's amazing. I'm a runner, and so that's when I go out for a run, I just get ideas, same thing, ideas, problem solving. Oh my gosh, all this great stuff comes to me. Vicky says, in her typical day, she takes a walk, and now take a walk and get some groceries to prepare for lockdown. What part of the country are you in, Vicky? Let us know. New York. Oh, that's why you're talking lockdown. Okay. That's it. New York City. Awesome. All right. The call is being recorded. So if you need to jump off early for some reason, don't worry. It'll be usually posted the following day. It'll be up by tomorrow. So, and for anyone also who wasn't able to attend today, they'll have a chance to listen. So I want to start by asking you for a win, big or small. Type a capital W in the chat so I know that's what you're responding to. And let me know, let all of us know what it is that you've accomplished in the last week or so that you're happy about. And it can be small, can be something really, really simple. doesn't have to be a big deal, but a win is a win, and we'll take it. So Andrew said filed the paperwork for his LLC. Congratulations. It's a great, great step. Great step. Vicky said, I'm midway through session two, not finished, but web copy and development. Congratulations. It's a fair amount of work to do when you're writing your copy, and many of you are early in the process here. So, yeah, good for you. Excellent. Any other wins? that we can all celebrate together. All right. I am going to, oh, and Sam snuck one in there, finally came up with a list of target markets and project types I can work with. Great. Great, great. Gabrielle says, I exfoliated. I struggle doing that on a routine basis. Good for you. Personal habit too. That's okay. So my next question for everyone is, what material are you implementing? And all of you are obviously in the process of going through the B2B Launcher program. So just let me know what session you're on right now, or maybe what you're working on. If you've already said, you know, website or whatever, then I know you're early in the program. But just let me know where you are. It'll help as we go through the questions and the rest of the call. Just type in a capital I and whatever point you are, wherever you are in the program, just let me know. Vicki said session 2. Gabrielle says session 3. Great. Thank you, Sam. Got your message. Hopefully that's a little better. Andrew said finishing up session 3, final touches on web copy before submitting. Great. Thank you, Sam. Great. Charlene finished the program, now researching companies and sending out warm emails. Wow, congratulations. Didn't realize you were that far in the program. Good for you. Good for you. It's a great time too, if you have extra time, depending on what's going on in your business, to go back and rewatch a session. So if you're focusing on warm emails, go back to session 5 or session 6. I can't remember which one is which, but go back to that, maybe brush up again. It's amazing when you see, when you go through something a second time, you'll see things you missed the first time because it's all so new. So definitely if you have time, go back and take another look. Great. Great stuff. All right. Well, we're going to dive into our question and answer portion of the call today. And one of the things, before we get into too many questions, oh, and hey, Mema, didn't see you come on there. Hi, welcome. And thanks for chiming in. She says, I'm about finished and now focused solely on prospecting. Congratulations. So before we dive into questions, and I hope you did bring some, I wanted to talk a little bit about what we have going on in the world, and not specifically what's going on in the world. I'm not going to give you any advice for that, but I want to talk a little bit about where you are in the program and where you are in your business. Because right now, it's pretty challenging to focus. I know I am finding a hard time focusing. I'm really struggling with focusing. And so Ed and I got together early in the week, right after things kind of started to unravel a bit here in the US. And because I wanted to brainstorm with him about, you know, what kinds of things can we talk about on the calls this week to make sure that people are hanging in and they're staying focused on what they should be doing. And he had some wonderful ideas. The two of us came up with some good ideas, and I wanted to share them. I wanted to start today by just sharing a few of these things, and with the hope that this will help you out in terms of what's going on in your, you might find it challenging to focus. Absolutely understood. It's crazy. But here's a short list. I'm just going to read a couple of them to you. It might give you some ideas for questions. If you came without a question prepared, this might give you some ideas. So a couple of things. It's by no means an exhaustive list, but it's just something to get you thinking. And the number one thing that Ed recommends is dramatically limit your media consumption. And I couldn't agree more. Sometimes watching the news or being on Facebook, you know, getting this just it can be overwhelming and it can be upsetting, really. It can cause you to kind of freeze. So that's number one, and very appropriately the number one thing to do. The same thing goes with social media. And now that you know, we're working from home, and many of you, maybe some of you, if you're not here on the call, but you're listening to the recording, maybe you're still working, but you're working from home, we tend to end up on social media a little more to stay in touch with each other, or to, you know, look for client, for prospects, things of that nature. But it can be incredibly, as the term Ed uses, is an incredible amount of toxic information right now on social media, and that's true. So if you're consuming too much of that, it's gonna unnerve you and can be distracting. The next thing to think about is, can you make phone calls instead? Pick up the phone, call people, call colleagues, call even people in your network. Depending on where you are in this program, there's a I think it's session 3 where Ed starts to talk about reaching out to friends and family and network and things like that. It's a great way to just touch base with people. And when you're on the call, the other thing is, if you do make a phone call or you make some phone calls, you start talking to people, great way to reconnect, but just be careful not to spend too much time talking about what's going on in the world. You know, maybe mention it because it's top of mind for everyone, but just briefly keep it short and get right down to, hey, the reason I was calling is, and really don't spend too much time, because we're all in the same place. We're all inundated right now with information, and some of it not quite true, and some of it, you know, so just be careful about what you say. The other thing that Ed recommended, I thought this was a really cool idea, is to find a peer and agree to do a check-in with each other a couple times a week, like Mondays and Fridays, or however often makes sense, and talk about what you have planned, what you're concerned about, and what you want to accomplish. Almost like an accountability partner. It's kind of a nice thing to do if you have somebody that you already know, maybe a colleague or something like that, maybe someone within the B2B Launcher group, something like that. If you wanted to reach out on Facebook, that might be a good idea if that's something that you feel would be helpful. The other thing that both Ed and I do, we're both fans of meditation. He is basically, he's transitioned to meditating twice a day to help him stay focused and calm. And I have actually been trying to do that and challenged to find the time, believe it or not, right now. Things have been busy. So that was an idea that I thought was kind of neat. Meditation is a nice thing. There's lots of apps out there, lots of things that you can use to guide you through it if you're new to it. And then the other thing we started talking about was go for walks. That's part of why I asked the question that I did at the beginning of the call, was, you know, what do you do to break things up for yourself? And walking, getting outside, getting away from, you know, get out in the world, take a walk if you can, if it's makes sense to, depending on where you live and the environment that you're in. But, you know, if you can get out and go for a walk and you still have the freedom to do that, not in New York City, I don't believe, but in other parts of the world, if you still have the ability to do that, is to get out and take a walk. So there's quite a long list here of other things, like play with your kids or play with your pets or exercise, you know, those kinds of things. Lots of ideas. So just want to sprinkle a few of those out there, get you thinking. Hopefully that you find that helpful. The most important thing, I think, too, is to set a goal for yourself with this program. So keep moving. So every day, what am I going to do today? Even if I don't have a lot of time to invest in going through the program, is to keep moving forward. What are you going to do on a daily basis? Maybe set a goal for each day or set a goal for the week. Say by the end of this week, I want to have this accomplished. You know, I want to be able to get through certain things. So keep scheduling this, keep setting goals for yourself on a weekly, at least a weekly basis, so that you'll get stalled out. We definitely don't want you to get stalled out. You want to keep moving, because this situation, like all situations, will pass. And when we come out on the other side, it's going to be a new world. It's going to be a little bit different, and it's going to take a while for things to kind of pick back up. But for a lot of businesses, but things are going to change. And I think there's a lot of opportunity. And there's a lot of opportunity right now for people who are, I work with Ed on a couple of different programs that I support for him. And there's another one for folks who've been writing for a while. They're a little further along in their business journey, in their writing journey. And right now is a really amazing time for writers because the communication needs have doubled, if not more so. You know, businesses that never had to communicate before necessarily or just weren't accustomed to it, now they're finding themselves having to communicate a lot more frequently, more intelligently, if you will, you know, just being more clear, making sure it's well thought out and it's not, doesn't sound desperate or anything like that. So there's companies out there that, you know, all companies are in need of some writing support right now. And that's the good news. That's the really good news. So, all right. Well, I wanted to share those things with you, hopefully give you a chance to, you know, just to look for the, you know, look for the positives in what we're experiencing. I mean, I know for me, not being able to go anywhere is a good thing, honestly, because it's giving me time to focus on more and get more things done right here in my office and in my business. So it's a positive for me. So, you know, be thinking about that. This might be a great opportunity for you to really crank through some of the B2B launcher program. So, all right. Well, I'm hoping that people came with questions. If not, I have some more information that I can share with you. But we'll start with questions. Type a capital Q in the chat. And that way I'm sure that it's a question and I won't miss your question if there's a bunch submitted. And keep it focused and specific. And one question per person right now. We've got a fairly good group of people here today. So I definitely want to make sure that we get to everybody, but we'll probably go around the room, so to speak, maybe more than once. I can always come back. All right. And let's start with Vicky. The first one with a question. And Sam, I saw your, feel free to type in the chat if you have information to share with others, if you have ideas. Sam had a comment on what I was just talking about and some of the ideas that we came up with that Ed and I had brainstormed for you. If you've got comments or you've got other suggestions, share them in the chat so everyone can see them. Absolutely. Vicky, her question is, once I get my copy written for my website, should I just submit it for your review before I build the site, or would you prefer to give feedback on the formatted copy? I can send you a Word doc or just move forward and set up the site, but before it goes live, I definitely would like your feedback. Great question. And because of your B2B launcher program allows you one website review, it's better, I think, to go ahead and put your copy up, get the site up. One of the things that the reason being is that I do both. I review copy on that's submitted in Word documents. Happy to do that if that's where you're at and that's what you'd like. But I also review the actual website. So once it's up there, and one of the bonuses of being able to review the website when it's actually up and doesn't have to be live to the world, but just up the, you know, maybe the, you know, a temporary site as you get your content up there, is because it's helpful to see the visual aspect too. Words on a plain white page look very different when you get them on the internet. And so on a, you know, in a website frame. So sometimes it would be helpful. You know, for me, my preference would be to have it online because I also look for other things. When I look at someone's website, I look to see, is it easy to navigate? How does it look on my smartphone? Is it fit? Is it, again, easy to navigate there? I look for visual things as well, because sometimes you're looking at this and you're building and you're working and you're looking at it every day for hours a day. You don't see things. And so once you get your website up online, I like to be able to look at it so that then I can say, ah, okay, I see what you're trying to do here. Let's, you know, but there might be a slightly better way to do it. Or I was reviewed one just this week. The woman did a great job. Her website's beautiful, but the font was a little funky in a couple places. And I know she didn't, it was inconsistent. She had headers and they were in different, you know, subheaders, I should say, on a page, and they were in different font and one was not bolded and the rest were, things like that. I've got a fresh set of eyes. I picked up on it. So those are the kinds of things that I'll just point out, like, hey, you know what, this looks a little odd, or, you know, this isn't looking quite right, you know. So we just kind of tighten those things up together. So I hope that answers your question. Thanks, Vicki, for submitting. And Charlene is up next. And her question says, I read Ed's email about current situation and adjustments we need to make to help companies get through this time. Frankly, I was kind of freaked out and I'm not sure why I need to. What changes would you recommend or what direction would you advise to change about our approach to businesses? So Charlene, let me just take a quick look back here. So you've finished the program and you're getting ready to prospect. So this is a great question. And for those of you who are still early in the program, it's might not be quite as relevant for you, but this is something that we talked about. So for you, Charlene, your warm email prospecting should include a subtle change to be very specific about how you can help them right now. So I mentioned earlier that businesses have suddenly, their communication needs have exploded on them. And if they're not used to it, depending on the size of the company, if it's a smaller company, they might be just completely overwhelmed. And so, you know, I'm sure that in your inbox, you've probably seen some kind of a virus update from pretty much every company that you deal with. I know my cable company sent me an update, the gas company, the electric company. I'm getting all these updates from companies that I do business with personally, you know, for my home. I had no idea, you know, now all of a sudden they're all coming out with their updates and their policy changes. And, you know, here's what our hours are going to be and here's how it's going to affect our business. And here's what you can expect. And here's where to call if you have further questions. So the communication need has changed dramatically almost overnight for these companies. Some companies that you may never have heard from about anything like this. Everybody's stepping up and saying, here's our policy. Here's how we're going to be operating moving forward. There's a lot of companies out there that need help to not sound desperate, to not sound panicked, to make sure that they sound like the voice of reason, you know, that they've got it under control. They may not have it under control, who knows, but they want to at least put a good message out to their client base and to perhaps their employees, whoever. And there's a lot of need, and this need isn't going to go away because the situation is still developing, right? We don't know what's going to happen in the next week. By next Thursday could look different. So there might be more communication that needs to go out next Thursday and then the Thursday after. So there's also this, so the increased need overall is there. So I would recommend, Charlene, that you think about how can you offer something really specific and tangible, even to a local business to say, you know, not used to communicating this much with your with your client base, or not sure how to talk about the situation to represent your business well. Let me help you with your immediate email needs. Let me develop a message. Let me help you develop a message, perhaps for your newsletter. Something that you post on social media or for your website. Maybe you want to have a special blog just for this. It's an immediate need for a lot of businesses, and they really need help. And so that's the subtle change I would make. And it's not a big, oh my gosh, you got to work with a completely different industry than you thought. This is a subtle change. Take a step back and look at what is the industry you're targeting. What are they doing right now? How are most companies responding? And if you look across the target industry or the target audience, you're going to see probably a range of responses. Some that you're going to think, wow, they really seem on top of their game. And others, boy, not so much. And in some cases, there might be crickets. Maybe some of these people are afraid to even send out any communication at all. So that would be, I think, Charlene, think more subtle change as opposed to, you know, you're not going to overhaul everything. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what Ed meant. It's just make a subtle change, be a little more specific in what you can help with. You could even, on the other call earlier this week, I suggested offering a free strategy session with no obligation. So if you're not sure what to do and how to communicate, let's set up 15 minutes or 30 minutes to talk. Let me help you kind of sort that out. And then at least you'll have a better understanding of where to go with your communications. So There's a lot of different things that you can do, Charlene, to, you know, again, it's subtle, but make sure that you capitalize on it in a way that, you know, businesses are struggling right now with how to communicate with their masses, with their most important audience, their clients, perhaps, or customers. Yeah, it's a real need. And that's what, actually the beauty of a situation like this is that all of a sudden communications has exploded. And marketing, not so much marketing, but communications. And that's a little bit different because these aren't, you know, these the messages we're getting in our inbox today about the virus situation are not marketing. They're here's what we're doing. We're trying to demonstrate that we've got, you know, we're on top of our game. I can share with you that I, on a personal side, there are two different healthcare companies that I interact with, and I've been interacting with in the last like couple of weeks in particular. And one's an in-home healthcare company, and it's for elder care, and so it's in that industry, if you will, or in that that genre, so to speak. And one company has been amazing communicating, talking about how they're going to protect their clients, talking about you know, the policies, the new procedures they've put in place to make sure that their staff is aware that they're being smart, they're being safe, all the stuff. And the other company, crickets. And it's really hard for me to step back and say, and continue to think positively about the one that's no communication whatsoever. And they're a healthcare company, for goodness sakes, in-home healthcare. How are you protecting your clients? What is your policy? Nothing. Scares me. Gotta be honest. It's like, what are you doing? Why are you being so quiet about this? You have got to step up, especially in your industry. You know, if it's a donut shop, it's a little different. You know, you're not, that's a different story, right? Or some kind of a retail thing, a little bit different. But when you're talking about going into an elderly person's home to take care of them, this is kind of a big deal. So in light of the situation, so this is a company, I almost want to reach out to them and say, can I please help you? Because I, you know, you're going to lose clients over this because you're not handling it well. People are going to start to think you're asleep at the wheel. And I hope you're not, but golly gee, you got to let people know. So I think that's the kind of thing is look at this and take a look at what's going on out there and see where you can help. See where you might be able to offer some very concrete, you know, let me assess what you've got going on. Let me help you develop a message that you're comfortable with and that you know is comprehensive. Ed and I were talking about it, and he said, you know, he referred to it as be a level-headed communicator in a time when it's really hard to do that. You know, a business owner might be nervous, having a hard time being level-headed in his or her communications. That's another thing that you can incorporate. So went a little long on that answer, Charlene, but I hope that's helpful. Awesome. Sam made a comment I hope you all saw in the chat. I'm going to read it. Maybe this reiterates what we were just talking about, but thinking about what the economy and our society will be like when this ends, what new needs will there be? Thinking that people will be tired of their screens and finding new ways to connect in person. I know that people with our skills will still be needed, if not more so. So this, and that's what kind of what I was alluding to, Sam, is that right now is a great time for writers. Oh my goodness, because companies that never would have even considered hiring a writer are saying, oh my goodness, I need help. I need help like yesterday. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't even know how to send a mass email. You know, I mean, depending on the size of the company, but there's tremendous opportunity right now. And I agree 100%. I think that when this is all over and we're past and then the economy starts to turn back up and things start to, you know, get back to our new normal, the landscape's going to look different. This is going to have a lasting impact. And it's kind of interesting to see, hard to know what's going to change or what's not, but it's going to be very interesting. So one of the things that's going to happen is think about all of the, I'll just throw this idea out to you, but think about all of the organizations that had to cancel their events. Once the moratorium for gathering size is lifted again, what's going to happen? I think that whole conferences and all the stuff, that might change. That might explode all over again. That might be, you know, the bigger spot where things are going to take off rapidly, and it's going to be a race to see, okay, what venue can I book and that kind of thing. So there's going to be a need there, but there's also going to be a need because I suspect that this is an opportunity for lots of different companies, businesses, et cetera, organizations to try online meetings. And so that might change. There might be a need there to change the way they communicate during and after an online meeting. You know, maybe there's some need there. So things are, and I'm just kind of pulling these out of my hat here and just thinking about different ways, but I agree. It's to some extent going to be a wait and see, but to some extent, don't be afraid to be creative and look at this for what are the good things that I can take advantage of. Mema, I think you have the next question. I have a trial email from my first client to be that's due next Tuesday. I really need another eyeball and email copy. I write, could you please take a look at this email for me? So what I would recommend, Mema, is to post it in the Facebook group under the Q&A, and either Ed or I will give you some feedback there. So just take the content. You can upload a Word document, sorry. My brain stopped for a moment there. You can upload it as a Word document, or you can just cut and paste it into your comments in the Q&A thread. But that's where I would recommend you put it so that we'll be sure to see it. That would be a better spot for you. And that way we can give you direct one-to-one feedback. Charlene says, thanks. Makes so much sense. I appreciate you making that so simple. Yeah, it is simple. And I think we get overwhelmed. And, you know, Ed's, that certainly wasn't his intention, I'm sure, was to overwhelm you. But, you know, keep it simple, subtle, little changes. Hey, I'm still a copywriter that focuses in this industry. I still do, you know, these kinds of things. But in light of what's going on, let me help you with, are you struggling with this? Are you struggling with that? Has this become really hard to keep up with? Or to talk about the way you want, are you sure it's coming across and landing on your clients the right way? Because silence speaks louder sometimes, you know, like this company I was talking about, the in-home healthcare, silence is screaming out loud for them from the mountaintops, and they don't realize. I don't think they realize that it's doing that. So lots of things to think about there. Gabrielle says, maybe you should contact them. I've been thinking about it. I'm not sure they're, to be quite honest, I'm not sure that they're, I think they lack sophistication, and I don't mean any disrespect to anybody, but I think that there's just a lack of, I think they're sitting there thinking, well, if they have questions, they'll call us. I think that's just the way they think, like, well, I don't need to send out an email. They'll just call if they, people will call if they have questions. Anyway. It's all mindset there. And this is a time too, which is, it's kind of exciting. It's a little unnerving, but it's exciting too, because there's the world is changing. It's really being shaped by this. And it's fascinating. To me, it's fascinating. It's really interesting to watch. My heart goes out to the people who are losing their jobs and things like that. That is no fun, but it's interesting. It's going to be a very different world when this all passes and we start to recover. So, and I'm hoping it'll be a better place. So, all right. So Gabrielle, you have a question. Gabrielle's question is, I'm still unsure how to approach my site name. I have a blog called Gabrielle Gwyneth, where I write about food and travel. Yep, I remember that. I think I just answered that the other day on Facebook. Contact goes back a few years. On one hand, I could repurpose the site so that the homepage is about my business services and use the blog link to all my other content. On the other hand, I could use the site just for my business and move my blog content elsewhere. I don't want to create confusion in the mind of clients. Also to continue to write my own content. I like the idea of the site with my name being active the way it is now. Hesitant to remove all the blog posts because it seems my business site will be less so. Yet I think the best name for my business is my own, especially since I don't know which direction the writing will take me. Mema, you're welcome. Okay, so I'm just going to back up, Gabrielle, if I can find you. I'm hoping you can talk. I'm going to unmute you. Where are you? There you are. Hold on. Hey, Gabrielle, are you there?
Hi, yeah, I'm here. Thanks.
Hello there.
Hi, everyone else.
Hi. And you are, what part of the world are you in?
I'm in Glasgow.
Ah.
Yeah. So.
Good, good. Well, thank you for the question. So I have a question for you. Just want to clarify. So the blog that you've been working on is in travel, you said. And what is the focus of, what are you focusing your business on? What kind of writing are you going to be doing?
Professional service firms and small businesses.
Okay. Okay. So definitely could be two separate sites. It sounds like that's one of the ways you're considering. I just wanted to make sure I understood if there was any crossover, then that would be different. But
yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. And I know, I'm not sure if you saw my answer in the Facebook group, but one of the things.
Yeah, I did, which is, I guess, how I got here. Cause I, yeah, just considering what other alternatives could be besides my first and last name, which.
Right. Right. Your last name is rather challenging to spell and yeah. That kind of thing. I remember seeing that. So,
yeah.
So as I mentioned, and someone had years ago suggested, you know, even if your URL is a little bit longer, make it something that you can say easily, that it can be heard easily and remembered. And that's, I think that's good advice. It might take you a little bit to come up with, you could do something like, Gabrielle Writing Services, use your first name, or, you know, come up with another word to put in front of that, or something along those lines. But it's just to make it easy for people to say and remember and type in too. So if I want to send you an email, I want to be able to just be able to type that in and get it to where, or find your website easily, probably more importantly. Have you kicked around any ideas or word combinations like that?
I have tried Gabrielle writing sort of combinations, and then I've looked at some of the other people in the launcher groups. I saw a couple of URLs on the website review thread, so I went to look at them, and then I was just reading, you know, other people's websites, just Googling around to see what I saw, what I could see. But I'm hesitant to say, you know, some people that are focusing on an industry, I'm a fitness copywriter or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm not doing that. And second of all, like I said, I don't know which direction after I've been writing for, you know, as we spoke of the last time we spoke,
mm-hmm.
like which kind of content I'm going to like and what I'm going to run forward with in the future. So I don't really want to narrow it based on an industry. Yeah, which is why I came back to like, well, I have my name here, but.
Right. But that's why I'm saying maybe either use your name and combine it with some other things that are a little more broad, like, you know, writing services or writing guru, or, you know, come up with just something that, or, you know, or marketing market pro, or I don't know, just come up with some other combination. And what I would do is make a list of words. The other thing, so two things, do a little more research on your competitors, just in outside of like the Facebook groups and things like that. Go to LinkedIn, go to Google, just Google, or, you know, a search engine and look for small business or B2B writers, that kind of thing. See what comes up. See how people are presenting themselves to the world via their websites, and make a note of things that you like. If there's words that people are using to describe themselves, you might get some good ideas, and make a list of those words. Like, ooh, I like the word guru, or I like the word professional, or, you know, maybe there's just words that kind of resonate with you in terms of what you want to help people do. It might be from the perspective of the client too, like writing solutions, you know, start looking, you know, you're a problem solver, and that's kind of a long combination of words, but solutions, or look up words that like go to the thesaurus and see what are the words you could replace with solutions or something like that. So just try some, you know, some different combinations. It's going to take a little bit. It took me a while to come up with mine. I was actually in a course and that was part of the course, but,
yeah, I actually looked at your website.
Yeah.
That's an interesting name that you chose.
Good. Yeah. Well, it was because I could say it, easily, and my website URL is storyarchitectforwomen.com. So I can say that very easily. I just say it with a little pause in between each word, and then I say it's all one word, .com, and boom, and people go, oh, okay, you know, and they find me. It works. So it's long and it's annoying because I have to type it in a lot of places because I, you know, my email is Susan@, and so yeah, it's but it does the job. I've had that for couple of years now, and it's great, and it still allows me enough flexibility in what I offer, because I've actually changed my service offerings under that title a couple of times. I've stopped doing shorter content, I'm doing longer content, things like that, so I'm still helping people tell their stories, and that's broad enough in and of itself that it allows me to have that flexibility. So that's why I'm encouraging you to, you know, go out and do some exploring, see what other people are doing, and then just start making a list of words that really resonate with you, that you like, that you think, you know.
But you wouldn't recommend the segmenting thing that I was like.
So what were you, you're thinking about having the blog?
Keeping everything on the one Gabrielle Gwyneth website that I already have.
It really depends on whether or not you have, I guess, what kind of following you already have there. Would it be confusing for the people who are already following you because you're now going in a completely different direction? You know, it really depends on what you already have, or what you're, I guess, what you're looking to retain by doing that. Like, what are you hoping to retain by combining the two? What do you think the benefit would be for you?
Well, I mean, samples would be right there, and ideas for other projects people could potentially hire me for if they were to click over and see, oh, well, she's done this. Or maybe if they were on the fence about hiring me and they saw something in my blog that just connected with them in terms of what the project was, or just my personality. And then, yeah, I guess that would be the main benefit. And also, I've noticed that with other websites, they talk about how it's important to have a blog with your site.
Yep.
So I would have that content already. I mean, it's not in the same artery of like prospects, but it would be content already on the site.
Yeah. And that to me would be a little bit confusing, to be perfectly honest, because if I looked at your professional website and I went to the blog and it was all about travel, I'd be thinking that was what you're writing about, and I might move on. So I'd just be mindful of that. There's nothing wrong with having a separate blog for whatever your passion is. You know, if you want to keep writing about travel, continue to do that. But if it isn't closely aligned or fairly close to what business you're trying to develop, it's going to add confusion. And what's going to happen is you're going to be bringing the wrong visitors to your website. Yeah. And we don't want to do that. We want to just be mindful that, you know, it could potentially bring the wrong people, or send the right people away. We don't want to do that either. So,
yeah,
I think it would be, I personally would suggest doing a separate site just for your business that really, and then blogging about, you know, start writing some blogs about, even about communications in our brave new world, right? You know, how do you communicate as a small business? There's a lot you can talk about to small businesses, if that's who you're focused on, is to give them some ideas about, you know, ways to encourage them to communicate, and then ways to do it effectively, and write a few blogs for that and start in. But I think you're going to have to start fresh because they're not close enough. If you were calling on travel companies or something, then I'd say, okay, obviously there's a fit, but I think they're too far apart for you to use that effectively without confusing your visitors.
Okay.
All right. And it's not that you can't use some of your samples. If they're relevant, if you want to send people to your blog from your website, your business website, I think it's okay. Samples are good. If there's, you know, they're going to want to see business communication samples more than anything.
Okay.
So
I have a related. I mean, I'll wait my turn, but yeah. I have a question about that too.
Absolutely. Well, let me just go through because there's a bunch of other things here on the chat and go ahead and put in a second question so that I'll get right back around to you.
Okay.
All right. You're welcome. All right. All right, let me just see. Oh, no, I don't have any other questions. Just looking through, sorry, taking a moment to look through the, scrolling through the chat here to see if there are any other questions. All right, Gabrielle, it looks like you are up. I'm gonna just unmute you again, if you're still there, hold on. Hey there, are you back?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Great, because I hadn't written this one out yet.
That's okay. Go ahead. What's your question?
Yeah. So I asked on Facebook about having samples that aren't related or just leaving them off. And you said it's good to have samples, you know, regardless. And so I'm just trying to figure out what would work, I guess. And like I have a lot of different, I've done a lot of different writing, but the okay. most recent piece that I did was for a travel website. It's like 11 must-see African American heritage sites. So that's pretty straightforward as an article. Okay. And then I did like an interview-based post for my blog on food. So on cracked conch, which is a Bahamian kind of food.
Yep.
At the moment, I am working with the Bahamian Ministry of Tourism for a couple of blog posts, so I could link to those, but they're also not really for businesses or professional websites.
I think actually those are okay. So there's a couple things that stand out for me. The interview one is something that you could use as perhaps a link to like case studies. Because most of the time when you're writing a case study, you're going to be interviewing people, right? So it might be that's, you know, they're not going to be 100% on, but you want them to be able to be relatable. And it's the other thing is if you feel they're really well written, then that's important too. So even though it might be that first article that you mentioned, if it's really well written and it's fairly recent, then use it. I know it's not an exact match, but Sam, people want to see that you can write and that's and how you write. And that's why the content on your website itself too, your web pages is important. But the samples, if they're well written that you're proud of and you feel good about that, you know, it's some of your better work, then use them. Absolutely. Yeah, I would. Until you get a few more, you know, until you get a little bit of experience in the field that you actually want.
Okay. And then I have two that are less conventional, so not links that I could send you to. One of them is the podcast episode that I wrote and narrated.
Oh,
and okay. I mentioned that in my web copy somewhere when I talk about how like I can take really big ideas and then repackage them so that they're easily understood. And so that's an example of that, even though it's, I mean, I still wrote it.
I think that's great. Yep. Because a lot of businesses, again, depending on what kind of industry you're focusing on, are looking into podcasts and there's a lot of work to it, a lot of work to it. And then even the transcripts, you know, once they have a podcast, they want the podcast transcribed or, you know, parts of it or something. There's a lot of work around that. So I think that's a business relatable topic. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And the last one would be an article that I wrote for, actually I did two for a publishing company and they never, I don't know what's going on with the company, like if they're closing or if they're having financial difficulties. So they never put it in print, which is the form that it was going to be in. But I obviously still have the digital copy that I could upload.
I think that's fine. Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. And it, what was it? An article for a publication?
Yes.
Okay. So in a specific, again, was it travel and tourism? Same.
Yeah, you could say that. It's more, it works for in both locals and for visitors. So it was like, one of them was a pretty long, they're both actually historical pieces on one on a specific industry and one on an island in the Bahamas.
Ah, okay.
So, and they're much longer. Yeah, they're easily like twice as long as some of the other samples. So that's why I thought they would be good because
I think so. Yeah, no, I think so. A longer, and again, so that you could spin as longer form, long form copy. So short form copy is blog articles that are, you know, maybe 700 to 1,000 words. That's like short form typically. Anything that's closer to like 2,000 words and beyond, that's more long form. Everybody has a different, like 2,000 and under is short form, 2,000 and over is starting to get into long form copy. So, but if that's something that you're interested in writing for people, you know, for your clients, that your target base, mm-hmm. Then that's definitely worth sharing as an example. Here's an example of long form copy. Here's an example of my podcast work. Here's an example of, so make sure that you call out specifically that, because that's universal, like a podcast or long form copy can be universal across pretty much any kind of business. You know, even that interview series or that interview piece that you did, showcasing my ability for things like, you know, case studies or even interview series. Some companies might want to have their clients interviewed just for, and not so much for a case study, but just an interview series on social media or on their blog themselves. So it's good ideas for examples for that are will trans, you know, kind of translate across industry.
Yeah.
I think that works. Thank you. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, good luck. And somebody had a question. Andrew had a question for you in the chat. We wanted to know why you weren't considering your travel industry as your target.
Well, when I went through the session one, I guess, and it was about
positioning.
Positioning. It didn't come up as a theme for one, so I didn't consider it. And I don't know otherwise. I guess it doesn't also seem very stable or lucrative, maybe, because the travel writing that I've done, like strictly travel writing, was for sort of magazine articles online, and that's not, that hasn't, I mean, it's been fine, but it hasn't really paid me very well.
No, that, and usually those kinds of things don't, but travel, what you might think about, and I know we talked about this, what you might think about is adjacent industries, maybe industries that sell to the travel industry or the travel audience. So, and that kind of thing. So are there other adjacent industries that you might be able to write for in addition to travel industry itself? So, you know, travel is such a broad industry. I mean, it's takes so many to travel and tourism. And I think that after all of this is over, that what we're going through right now, travel's going to, I think it's going to boom. So simply because as soon as, again, the travel bans are lifted, everybody's going to be like, oh, get me out of here. I don't want to be, you know, moving around and get me back on an airplane, get me to an island, something. I think there's going to be a real boom there. So it might be something to think about. And also to be thinking too about, so here's a cool thing is to be brainstorming about, with those different travel businesses to say, when this is over, how are you planning to take advantage of the anticipated boom in travel? Like, what are you going to be doing for that? And start talking to people about what kinds of things would you like to do? Let's imagine that, you know, this is gone, everybody's healthy, bans are lifted, and things get really busy for you. It's not too soon to start thinking about that, because that could be a month down the road. It could be, you know, a month or two down the road. And that's you know, by fall, things should be back to, you know, back to normal, I would think. So you never know. I don't know, but it's just, I'm an optimist. So I'm thinking, you know, you might have something to take advantage of there. Might be worth taking a look. So
yeah, I can think about it. Like you said, the adjacent.
Yeah. Look around, like just at one-offs, companies that sell into airlines, that sell into different travel, you know, into the hotel industry or into different, you know, different companies, travel companies. They need help too, because they know they're talking to the travel companies themselves. So they're selling to them.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, keep us posted in Facebook. You know, don't hesitate to, if you start digging into this and you have more questions, definitely jump on Facebook and share them.
Okay, will do.
All right. All right. Next question. It's from Vicky, and Vicky says, I'm planning to position myself primarily to biotech pharma, but I'm fully able to write educational PSAs for nonprofits and the like. Do you think it would be okay to broaden my initial positioning to include them? I was thinking of doing it by using broader language and maybe adding a section in the sample section, just small adjustments. So Vicky, it's, you know, I was just talking with Gabby about adjacent markets. So be kind of an adjacent market, nonprofit, maybe. Biotech pharma is a very different industry. The one thing that I would encourage you or challenge you, I guess, to think about is from a problem perspective. So, and what I mean by that is, so if I'm thinking about the biotech or pharma industry, what problems are they facing? What are the things that they find to challenging in their everyday and in their communications and their marketing out to their target audience? What are their challenges? Because what we do when we write web copy is we try to make sure that we're speaking our audience's language. We want to make sure that our web copy resonates with biotech or pharma companies, right? In your case. And, you know, PSAs are something that, is that something that the biotech and pharma industry uses, or is it not? It might not be. It might not translate. Like if there's like white papers could go across multiple industries. Are you fully able and capable to write those things? Can you go and approach different educational organizations or nonprofits, etc.? Absolutely, you can. Regardless of what your website says, I do all kinds of writing for clients that my website doesn't talk about at all. So there's a couple different ways that you can go about this, Vicky. And if you think you can get some traction doing PSAs or other types of writing for a slightly different industry than what you think you're going to target, then go for it. Absolutely. And like I said, regardless of what your website says, you can work with, you can take any kind of project anywhere, and you will do that most likely. You know, I position myself as a writer for women, but I have several male clients. It's not just, you know, I certainly wouldn't discriminate, that's for sure. And if they're a great client to work with, I'm gonna work with them. So it's, you know, what you do kind of behind the scenes, so to speak, in regards to the different kinds of projects that you pick up, doesn't necessarily have to have a bearing on what your website says, unless you decide to pivot and that's what your focus is going to be. You're now going to be in the educational, nonprofit, et cetera, space. Then you've got to change your web copy to reflect their needs as opposed to the needs of biotech and pharma. I would think their needs are going to be very different. And so it would be challenging to write an effective set of web copy that would be engaging to both audiences at the same time. That's the only challenge with that. So hopefully that answers your question. The other alternative for you, Vicky, is if you wanted to have a separate page that addresses educational organizations or nonprofits, you could do something like that. And that way you could direct, if you send a warm email to someone in one of those in a nonprofit or educational, the link would take them directly to that one page, so that you could speak their language on that page and hopefully connect with them and give them the information they need. instead of them having to leaf through a couple pages of your from your homepage out to get to the information that they need. So, you know, it's all about websites should be fast and easy. It should grab your client, your visitor, pull them in, make them interested, and make them realize that you're speaking their language, that you understand what they're challenged by, and that you're here to help. And it's hard to do that when you start blending too many audiences. You become ineffective, and it's hard to do both. I hope that helps. All right. So next question is from Sam. He says, not sure if this is covered in a later program, later program materials, but what do you think about going above and beyond serving as broker to obtain additional communication services for clients? I'm thinking about things like handling their printing. So that's entirely up to you, Sam. I can tell you that no, Ed does not address that in this program. I don't believe anywhere that he talks about, you know, becoming offering broader services in that way. That's entirely up to you. There is definitely some advantage to doing something like a partnership. I'm trying to think of the word, but there's affiliate, you know, partnership is what I was thinking, where you recommend a printer, or you recommend a marketing company, or maybe you recommend a graphic designer or something like that, web hosting company, that kind of thing. And then if the client uses that partner, then you get a percentage or something like that. So that's not uncommon, and it's good thinking. What I would be just careful about is you don't want to get to a point where it's taking too much of your attention away from your core business. If you can manage it simply and do it, then go for it. Like an affiliate program, like, hey, I'm an affiliate with this printing service, but I highly recommend them. And then that's it. You just kind of hand them off to the printing service, as opposed to getting too deep in the weeds of, well, what do you want printed? And do you want it in two color or three color? Or what kind of paper? You know, if you're going to start getting into being like a, not so much, and maybe broker, that's what you were meaning, is like an affiliate, just a referral, almost like a referral partner type of affiliate or something like that. So just be mindful that you want to make sure that whatever you get into, it doesn't take your attention away from your core business too much. It's going to take some attention, but just make sure that it doesn't kind of end up eating up all your time, so that you don't have time to prospect, or you don't have time to do things that actually help build your core business. So if you want to go for it, go for it. If you think it makes sense. But just again, be mindful, make sure that there's some balance there and it's manageable. Hey, Zelko. Glad you joined us. All right. You're next with the question. And he says, how to position yourself in a situation where you come to an agreement for a job, my first paying client, and everything is delayed due to the situation with the virus. I think to suggest the client jointly prepare an article and presentation for a conference for next fall. This is just to start work with the client. I think to do this as a pro bono project, just to create a relationship, and I agree. What do you think? So this is common, and congratulations, first of all, for having something that looks like a real client. That's really awesome. And even if it turns into pro bono work, it's okay. Be careful about pro bono work. Ed and I always advise, kind of keep that in your back pocket and use it sparingly. Nothing wrong with taking pro bono work. Just don't jump to that immediately. You want to use that mindfully, that offer. A couple of things to think about in regards to companies that are delaying their jobs, their projects right now. So Is there, I think that there's a couple things to ask and talk about. One is, you know, understand that the project is delayed, but for what is your, I guess, plan? And, you know, ask them, do they have a plan? In other words, is it delayed for a month? Is it delayed for 2 months? What do you anticipate? And is there anything that we should be or could be working on and developing, even though this isn't, maybe it's getting delayed because of the virus situation? So it's good to just kind of ask questions to make sure, just so I understand, you know, what your thoughts are, what you're thinking about. And then the other question would be, to approach it something like this. I would say something like, you know, a lot of other companies are really have their hands full with communication right now because of this situation. Is there something, you know, that you and I, that we could talk about, that I could help you with your strategy about how you're communicating with your client base? And I know you came in a little bit late, but at the beginning of the call, I was talking about, Ed and I had brainstormed some ideas for people to, for all of you to reach out in a slightly different way if you're at that point in the program, and I know you are. So it's just adding something very specific and tangible to perhaps your warm email for the time being, just for now, for this current situation, to say something along the lines of, you know, are you struggling to send the right message? And are you struggling to keep up with the volume of communication that you now have to do with your customer base? These are the kinds of things that I, you know, I could come in a temporary situation and under a temporary arrangement and help to support your communication needs for the short term while this situation unwinds and starts to wind down, something like that. So sometimes we also suggest, you also could, if you're comfortable doing that, is to offer a free strategy session, no obligation, just to say, hey, let me help you brainstorm some ideas for ways to communicate with your client base, with your employees, et cetera, over the coming weeks as this all unfolds. So I hope that helps. I hope that makes sense. And I hope I answered the question that you had there. Hey, Sam, I saw your, yeah, it can be risky to head in a separate direction. The reason I say that, Sam, that I was suggesting, you know, kind of just be cautious or be mindful of how it affects your efforts to build your core business is because you're all new and just getting started in your business, it could take too much time and focus away. And I wouldn't want to see that happen because your core business really needs your attention, your focus, your energy right now to build it. That's where you want to put the core of your focus. So just be mindful, as long as you're not suddenly working 25 hours a week on this side thing, you know, and almost no time on your core business. Awesome. I think we've gotten to everybody. Got it. All right, Sam, just saw your comment. Used to be in the printing business. I think there's some real value there. I agree, as a value add. But again, as long as you can blend it in effectively and it doesn't overtake what you're trying to do as a writer. All right. We've been talking about a lot of different things here today. I want to just take a break and ask you a question. What's been most valuable today that we've talked about? Was there anything that stood out that was really helpful for you? That we had a couple of really great questions, some terrific input from everybody. And thank you for those of you who are sharing your ideas as well in the chat. That's always helpful to see how other people think about it. Good, Zelko. Preparing a proposal for your client and hopefully getting a positive answer. Keep us posted in the Facebook group as you move forward with that. So anything, type in a capital V Anything that's been valuable so far that we've talked about that you found helpful, just maybe a new way to think about things, or hopefully feel a little more positive about what's going on in the world, that you know, it's still a good time to be in business because it is. It's an interesting time, but it's still a good time. In my mind, it's always a good time to be in business. But I'm an entrepreneur by nature, I think, so always have been. Great. Charlene says, I was stressed a bit over how to take a different approach, and your ideas and comments really made sense. Helped me to get back on to an I can do this position. Excellent. Yay. Thank you for sharing that. That's great. Vicky says, keeping me focused and telling me to get off social media. Twitter is paralyzing me. I agree. I have to be on Facebook for a number of different things with my own business and a couple of other organizations that I'm involved in. So I'm on Facebook every day, and I have had to really, really be disciplined about not spending too much time looking at the wrong things, is to go right to the place where I need to be focused, get the work done there. Like the group, for example, the Facebook group for the B2B launcher program. I go in, I look at what's going on. I look for questions. I look for those kinds of things. That's a daily thing for me to make sure that, that everybody's getting the support that they need. But I try hard. I have to really work at not getting caught up in the other stuff that's going on. So putting yourself on a social media fast is a really good idea right now. Just cut down a little bit. Social media diet, restrictive diet. Sam says, what's been valuable is your optimism on how we can adapt to the new world. We have to. You know, thank you for bringing that up, but it's not a choice, I don't think, as far as I can see. We're heading in this direction, whether we want to or not. So, you know, Ed and I were talking about, you know, these are things outside of our control. The part we can control is how we respond. And I'm sure you've seen, you know, with all the stuff going around on social media, people are posting all kinds of crazy things. But yeah, we can't control what's happening in the world, but we can control how we think about it and how we respond and how we keep ourselves facing forward and moving forward. So Gabrielle says, I agree. Your optimism and encouragement tips to keep focused. Great. I'm glad those were helpful. Yeah, Ed and I had fun. Ed put both of them together, but then we got together and just were talking about what do we think is going to be most challenging for all of you. And we don't want you to lose faith in the fact that you can get through this. It's an added challenge to be new in your business, but it's not impossible. And people are going to be more and more desperate for support in their communications, in their business communications. So you're actually in a pretty good spot. Zelko says, positive attitude in all situations. Easier said than done sometimes, Zelko, but that's what the Facebook group is for. So if you're feeling like you're wavering a bit, don't hesitate to jump in and share what you're thinking and ask for feedback. It'll help to keep you on track. Gabrielle says, follow-up question. She said, how much time do you think I should give myself to continue brainstorming the site URL? I want to set myself a deadline and not lose momentum. Great thinking. And I can see myself taking too long and stressing about it being just right. So congratulations for being aware of that and for thinking that way. That's definitely a concern that you're still kind of dwelling on it. I can tell you that I have changed the URL for my website 4 times, I think, which is probably crazy. But I have done, you know, what I started out as and what I'm doing today are different, and pretty dramatically so. So it's the same thing. Like, put a stick in the sand. Let's just get something up there, get it rolling, and see where it takes you. Because 6 months from now, the world could be a different place. You could decide, hey, I think I'm gonna head in this direction. I'm gonna change. I'm gonna pivot. So please be aware that this is a marathon, not a sprint. And that whatever you choose, and this is for all of you, anybody who's listening, you know, maybe struggling with, ooh, you know, how do I write my website copy so it's perfect, and those kinds of things. It's normal for us to obsess and want it to be perfect, but expect to reach about 75 to 80% perfect. And call it good and go, because you're not ever going to be perfect. I still tweak my web copy, and my website's been up for a couple of years now. The one that you see today has been there for a couple of years. It's actually time for me to refresh. But because life changes, right? And the world changes, maybe not as dramatically as it is right now, but changes happen and trends change and things, people suddenly become interested, or sometimes our language changes around how we describe these new buzzwords that come out, which I try to avoid, but new technologies change the way we do business. I'm suddenly now interested in this instead of that. You know, 6 months ago I was interested in that, but now there's new technology, there's new needs, so now I'm interested in this. You know, it's changed the way we do business, it's changed the way we approach things. So don't be so dead set on, oh my God, it's gonna be perfect and it's gonna be exact. I'm pretty sure I've had at least three different URLs for my writing business over the years. Three or four. I can think of two others that I used. So, and I was trying to be clever with one, and, you know, and it was just, and I just kind of outgrew that. I was like, that's dorky. It's time for an overhaul. And so it's not as earth shattering as you might think. If you were a professional blogger, changing where you live on the internet and would be disastrous. You wouldn't want to do that. You know, your followers, you would want to be really, or at least be very careful about it. But even major brands change their URLs. Big, big brands. They cut them down, or they change, you know, companies are, mergers and acquisitions happen all the time. Things change. So don't be so dead set that, oh my gosh, this has to be perfect because it's going to be with me for the rest of my life. No, it's not. No, it's not. Don't worry about, you know, tweaking that. You may go through a time where you realize, and literally I outgrew. I was trying to be cheeky and cute, and I came up with this URL, and it was available, so I took it. And then I realized after a couple months, I was like, gosh, that seems almost like high schoolish. What was I thinking? I feel so silly. And so I changed it. It was, and I think it was longer than 6 months. I used it for quite a while, actually, but then I realized it's not representing my brand the way I want it to. And so I changed. So don't hesitate to rock with something right now and expect to change it at some point down the road. And if you're super lucky, you might never change it. And that would be a cool thing. So I've got more different versions of my business card than I would should probably be willing to admit. Oh my gosh. So yeah, don't worry about it. No need to worry. All right. Gabriel says, thanks. That was helpful. Yeah, good. I'm glad that was helpful. It's a little perspective. Charlene says, regarding focus, I have a hobby business making handbags. I was trying to keep it going at a higher level of energy while getting my writing business going. It was dividing my energy and time too much. It became very complicated. I now pared back the hobby business so I can focus on my writing. Good for you. And minimize your Facebook hobby page so it's not to be distracting. Yeah. And Charlene says, having more peace. Congratulations. It's interesting how we tend to think we can do it all sometimes, or that we should do it all. Oh, I'm just going to keep all this going. And I have a client that I've been working with for quite a while, and she's become a dear friend, and she runs this major, every year she runs this major gathering. It usually is in April-ish, usually sometime in the April timeframe. She's been doing it for 10 years, and I've been trying to talk her out of it for two. Like, this really should be your last year. It's draining the energy she puts into it. It's so much work to organize, and it's a major conference. She has hundreds of people in attendance. So last fall, we were having the same conversation, and I said, you know, you might want to think twice. You're trying to build your business in a new direction. She was rebranding, heading in a new direction with her business, and I said, really ought to put that. You can always go back to it, but maybe take a year off. And so in January, she announced to me, you know what? I've decided I'm not going to do the conference this year. You're going to be so happy. And I said, yay. And that was months before any of us knew the term coronavirus. And now here we are in the throes of this situation. And she said, can you imagine if I was trying to do that? I would have lost money. I would have lost sleep. I would have lost all this time invested and not been able to hold the conference because it would have had to have been canceled. So for her, it worked out beautifully, but now she's just got all this energy to focus on her business and her new brand and where she wants to go. And she's, ideas are coming. She's got tons of energy. Definitely something to keep in mind. Try to minimize your distractions regardless of what form they come in. Most definitely. And Vicky says, question about Squarespace versus WordPress Bluehost. Any preference or is there another you recommend? So Vicky, I believe that there's a resources document in the Facebook group. So if you go into the Facebook group, go to the little search bar that I believe is in the left column, the left margin, and type in hashtag resources, you will see a document and a post with a document that has resources for all different kinds of things. And I believe that there's hosting options in there. I don't have experience with either one of those, so I have no value to offer there in regards to that. So, but definitely go back to the web Facebook page, type in hashtag resources, and you should find it. And if you can't, post the question in the Q&A, and Ed will probably chime in because this is definitely not my forte. Awesome. Lots of great questions. Lots of good discussion today. Thank you all for being here and being so active in our discussions. So I want to ask you one final question as we get ready to wrap up here. And what's your top action item for the next week or so? And it doesn't have to be something we talked about today, but just anything that you have planned. I'd love to hear what you're going to be focusing on. I want you to stay focused. I want you to keep making progress, keep moving through the program. Really want to see you, you know, if you've got extra time on your hands because you're not traveling to work or anything like that, then dig in, definitely dig in here. So type in an A, a capital A, and let me know what your action item is for the coming week. Vicky says, get that website built. Yes, ma'am. There you go. Looking forward to seeing that. I'm working on a webinar series, actually. It's sort of like a training, a mini training, almost like a boot camp for my clients who are interested in learning more about what it's like to write a book and what all it entails kind of start to finish. So working on building that for my clients right now so they can, you know, something to look at before they dive in to writing their book. Gabrielle says deciding on her URL and working on her website. Looking forward to that, Gabrielle. When you finally make your choice and move forward, I'll look forward to seeing what you've chosen. Charlene says, strive for more consistency in business efforts. If you're not, if you don't do a lot of scheduling, you don't use your calendar to schedule yourself, I strongly recommend you do that, is to say, okay, go to your calendar and say, all right, from 9 to 10, I'm going to do this, or 9 to 11, or whatever. Schedule in some breaks as well, and that kind of thing. And then stick to it, but be reasonable also. Make sure that you're carving out time blocks that you'll actually do, because then you'll feel accomplished. If I say I'm going to do this for an hour and I do it for an hour, I'm going to feel pretty excited. That's my plan for the day. That'll be helpful. It'll help you to be more consistent. And chunk it down so that it's not, oh, I'm going to spend 8 hours reading through the materials. Well, that might not be realistic. So just make sure that it's something that is very doable for you. Sam says he's going to finish session one, brand new. Absolutely. Good luck with that. Charlene says, thanks. Love the stories you share. Well, thank you. I've been in business for a long time, made a lot of mistakes. And if I can share some kooky stories and help you to understand that it's, you know, business is, try not to take yourself too seriously sometimes. It's there's a lot of value in hearing how, you know, mistakes that other people make. So, and I've got plenty of them. So but I'm glad they're helpful. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you all again. Thanks for being here. Thanks for participating. It's always better when you've got great questions that everybody can find value in. So thanks. And everybody, take care, be safe, be healthy, and look forward to seeing you all on Facebook very soon. Have a great rest of your day.